Ephesians 1, starting at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So far God's word. Let's bring this before him now in prayer as we ask for a blessing on this word. Please pray with me. As we come before you now, Father, we pray for your word to speak to us. We pray for minds and hearts that are open to receive your word. We pray that you would not simply fill our head with knowledge, but that you may fill our hearts with increasing love for you. As we are reminded this morning of your grace, your peace extended to us, your message, the message of the gospel given to us. Lord, we need to hear that gospel. We need to be reminded of that message of hope, of your calling to us. So remind us, refresh us, show us Jesus Christ, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Start the way you mean to finish. Start the way that you mean to finish. It's something that you can apply to many areas in life. If you're doing DIY, if you're renovating, you should start the way you mean to finish. You need to have the end goal in mind. If you're wanting to renovate a room, you just don't start throwing some paint around or pulling wallpaper off. No, you make a plan. You decide where you're going to go and you write that plan down, or you make that plan in your mind knowing where you're going to go. And if you start haphazardly, if you just start throwing things around and pulling things off the wall, well, you're going to finish haphazardly as well. It's the same with things like parenting. You want to start the way you mean to finish in terms of your parenting. You don't just start parenting your children, at least I hope we don't start parenting our children at the age of 13. That leads to trouble, doesn't it? No, we talk about, and we think about, and we read about how we're going to raise our kids. We talk about it as husband and wife, and we make a plan. It's the same when we're writing letters. Now, boys and girls, put up your hand if you know still what a letter is. Not many hands. Oh, there are a few there. Nowadays, it's texts and emails. But not so long ago, we communicated with each other by writing letters. And when you had to write a letter, you had to think very carefully about how you were going to write this letter. What were you trying to do as you were writing this letter? Who were you writing to? How are you going to address the person that you're writing to? Are you trying to inform them about something? Are you trying to convince them about something? And especially when it comes to letter writing, the way you start sets the whole tone of the letter. It points the people who are reading your letter to the finish. And it's exactly that case with the Apostle Paul. Paul starts his writing here, the book of Ephesians, the way he means to finish Ephesians. Now, it's easy to skip the intro. We've heard it many times, and we often hear this as a blessing as we come together in worship. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's easy to skip that and move on to the meaty stuff of the letter. But here in these first two verses of Ephesians, Paul is setting out his entire program for the book. He knows what he's going to talk about. He knows what he's going to talk about is important, and he wants to set the tone right from the beginning. And so as we come to the book of Ephesians this morning, we see at the centre of what we're going to look at this morning, the centre of the book of Ephesians is Jesus Christ. And it's not just Jesus Christ as an idea, as I pray, to fill our minds, but it's Jesus Christ as a way that impacts us. As we learn about him, as we understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, what it means to put that into practice in life. So our theme this morning is up there on the screen, hopefully shortly. Our theme this morning is that God calls us and blesses us in Christ Jesus. God calls us and blesses us in Christ Jesus. And our first point this morning is Paul is called. Paul is called. Now, boys and girls, can someone tell me who wrote the letter of Ephesians? Riley. Paul wrote the letter of Ephesians. That's right. It's a simple answer, isn't it? Yet, in the 1900s, German scholars started saying, oh, I'm not sure if it's Paul. The way it's written doesn't quite sound like classic Paul. He uses different words that he uses in other letters. But the truth is, the reality is that right from the beginning, from the day that the letter was written, it was acknowledged and accepted that Paul wrote this letter. But it's how Paul describes himself that we need to pay attention to this morning. He describes himself as Paul. First of all, he gives us his name. And it's interesting that he uses that name, Paul. We've been looking at Acts, and we're taking a break from Acts at the moment. But we've been looking at a person by the name of Saul. And you'll have heard me, boys and girls, if you were paying attention, sometimes I'd get his name mixed up, wouldn't I? I'd start calling him Paul instead of Saul, or Saul instead of Paul. See if I get that mixed up this morning as well. But in Acts 13, we have a change. We didn't quite make it to Acts 13. We'll pick that up later on in the next new year, I hope. But in Acts 13, verse 9, we read this. But Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him. And in Acts 13, we have the swap. Saul is now called Paul. Or here, he's called both, Saul to Paul. And it seems to happen when Paul starts speaking and bringing the word of God to the Gentiles. And that's part of the point that Paul makes here in this letter of the gospel, and we'll come to that shortly. How else does Paul describe himself? He describes himself as an apostle of Christ Jesus. An apostle was someone who had seen Jesus Christ and who had been sent by Jesus Christ to give a message. Paul tells the Ephesians he's an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. He wants to make it clear that he was sent by Jesus Christ himself. That's important for the Ephesians to hear. Now, when I was younger and had younger brothers and sisters at home, sometimes I'd be asked to go and bring them in for dinner. And if I went to them and called to them and say, oh, it's time to come in, more often than not, they wouldn't listen to me. But if I said, Mum said it's time to come in, then they came because they knew they were going to be in trouble because Mum had said. And that's kind of what is being said here. Paul is saying, these aren't my words. I'm not just bringing my words to you. No, I've been sent by Jesus Christ to bring God's word to you. As I was preparing for this message, I came across a description of the Apostle Paul. He is described as someone who was quite small, and he walked about bow-legged. He wasn't much of a specimen of a man to look at. By all accounts, too, he wasn't the greatest of public speakers. He wasn't much to listen to. But he needed to be listened to because he spoke God's word. He had been sent by God, and that's what he wants the Ephesians to hear here this morning. Listen to me, he says, not because I'm Paul, some great, amazing speaker, but listen to me because I am bringing you the very word of God. Listen to me. Because God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ has sent me to speak to you. And brothers and sisters, that remains true for us. We aren't the Ephesians here this morning. But Paul's message to the Ephesians is a message that we need to hear as well. That we need to listen up to because it is the very word of God. And as Scripture itself tells us, all Scripture is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We need to listen this morning to what Paul has to say as well. Now, we are not Paul. We are not called by Jesus Christ to be apostles, but we are called to be messengers of the gospel. And it's to that we turn in our second point this morning. Our second point is we are called. Now, boys and girls, another question, see if you're still paying attention. Who did the Apostle Paul write this letter to? I don't have the boys and girls' attention anymore. Who was this letter written to? Oh, right at the back there, Mikey. Ephesians, that's right. It's written here, isn't it? Except as we read verse 1, it says there, doesn't it? To the saints who are in Ephesus. But if you have the same Bible as I have and you look down the bottom, it says there some manuscripts omit the word Ephesus. And so again, the experts say, oh, see, we can't really trust this because then we have a difference here in words. One version of the ancient text says it's to the Ephesians, and another text doesn't even mention the Ephesians. And it is possible that this letter originally didn't have the title at the top, the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. To the saints who are in Ephesus, it may have been simply read, to the saints who are also faithful. And this letter was kind of like a circular letter. Again, we don't have circular letters nowadays, do we? Boys and girls, you won't know what I'm talking about. But it was a letter that was written to someone and intended to be passed on to other people. And so if the words in Ephesus in verse 1 weren't there right at the beginning, the idea there was still that it was written to the Ephesians. It would have gone and made the rounds to the Ephesians. And in fact, as we compare the different versions of the old text, this is the best reading. It was given to the church at Ephesus, but not just for Ephesus. to the churches around, and to the church at Ringiora as well. But what is significant here this morning is how Paul identifies his readers. We're going to look at that now. Paul says, to the saints who are in Ephesus. To the saints. Now this word is a word that had its origins way back in the Old Testament, and those hearing this letter would have known that. The word saints is used of the Greek version of the Old Testament to describe the people of Israel. The word saints means to be holy, to be separate, to be God's special people. So as Paul is writing this letter, he is writing to Greeks and Jews, and that's going to be Gentiles and Jews, and that's going to be clear as we go through the letter. This would have tweaked the radar of the Jewish people listening to Paul's letter read out. A couple of years ago, I went to a church planting workshop in Christchurch. And there were a number of other churches there. There were some representative from our Anglican friends from St. John's, St. Xavier, and St. Stephen's, and the likes of ministers there. And one of the ministers was speaking. And he said, you know, as we are Reformed Christians, and I said, I had to stop when he said that. He said, yeah, us as Reformed people. And I went, hang on. We are Reformed. You can't use our name. And it made me think. You see, we want to hold on to that name and say this applies just to us. But the name Reformed points to people who have the Bible central, who wanted to go back, if we think back to the Reformation, back to the original teachings, back to the Bible as the source of truth. And so we can't claim the name Reformed ourselves. No, it refers to all people who believe that the Bible is the Word of God and who are central. And that's what Paul is doing here too. You know, in the beginning, as the Jewish people heard this, their noses may have been put out of joint a little bit. But Paul is saying here, I want you to know, I want you to hear that the gospel doesn't just belong to the Jews, it applies. It belongs to all people in the world now. All Christians are called saints. All Christians are separate, God's holy people. Do Jewish people need to hear the gospel? Absolutely, and that still remains true. But so does everyone else in the world as well. Paul here is saying the gospel has gone out. All of that packed into that little word, saints. He calls them too faithful. A word that means that they had placed their hope and trust in Christ Jesus. Pointing them here to where their faith was rested in. But what I want you to note is the way that Paul uses these words together there in verse 1. He says to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, I have dual citizenship. I was born in Holland. I have a Dutch passport. I'm a Dutch citizen. But also, at the age of just of 13, I became a New Zealand citizen as well. I have both. I have my foot in both camps. And that's what Paul is trying to show to the Ephesians as well. He tells them that they are living, and it reminds them that they are living in Ephesus. Now, Ephesus was a Roman city. It was located by a major river, and in those days, located by a river means that you were an important city. It was a city full of wonderful architecture. It was a city that had a large Jewish population. But it was also a city that was known for the temple to Artemis, a Greek god. And the city of Ephesians, of Ephesus, I should say, was a worldly city. A city that was full of temptations, full of idolatry, full of things that would drag a Christian away from the faith. So Paul wanted to remind them that they were dual citizens. They weren't just citizens of Ephesus. They were also citizens of Jesus Christ. They belonged to Jesus Christ. They were the faithful in Christ Jesus. It's a challenge to them. Remember who you are and remember where you are. Make sure that you get the balance right. You are living in Ephesus, but your hope is in heaven. It was a challenge to them to make sure that they got the balance right. They had to remember who they were in Jesus Christ, and that's a major thrust of the letter. Remember who you are in Jesus Christ. But they also had to know how to live in Ephesus. And in a way, that's the structure of the book of Ephesians. If you look at the book of Ephesians, the first three chapters speak about Jesus Christ and who he is. The final three chapters speak more about how to live in the light of Jesus Christ, how to live your faith out in the world. Now, it's not quite cut and dry, but that gives us a guide. And Paul here in this first verse is reminding the Ephesians that they need to get the balance right. You see, when we get the balance wrong, that's when we run into trouble. What do I mean there? Well, if we see ourselves too much in Ephesus or the world, then we get ourselves into trouble. We feel the pull of the world. We get pulled away from the gathering of God's people. We get led into temptation and into all the troubles and trials of the world. But we can also be too much in Jesus Christ. Now, yes, you heard me right. We can be too much in Jesus Christ. What do I mean by that? We can be so taken up with the church. We can be so taken up with church fellowship. We can create our own little holy huddle that we forget that we're actually still living in Ephesus. We don't engage in the world. We become insular. We become introverted. And in doing so, we hide. We shield the gospel of Jesus Christ away from a community that so desperately needs to hear it. That's what I mean by saying we can be too much in Christ Jesus. So Paul says, remember that you are both. That you belong to Jesus Christ, but also that you are called to live in the world that God has placed you. How do we get that balance right? By remembering who we are. By focusing on Jesus Christ. And it's interesting to note that the three phrases that we have here in our text, in every single phrase, Jesus Christ is central. If you have your Bibles open, look at that with me. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. To the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Focus on Christ. Remember who you are, Paul is saying. Remember too that you are blessed. And that's our third and final point this morning. We are blessed. In verse 2 we have Paul's greeting, although it's not really Paul's greeting. It's God's greeting to his people. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace comes first. How do we define grace? Well, grace is God's unmerited favor to us. The favor given to us that we don't deserve, or as one author wrote, grace is God's demerited favor. In ourselves, without God's help, we do everything we can that should disqualify us from God's favor. But grace is God's amazing love to us. A love that means that God sent his son Jesus Christ to us. Grace means that our sins are covered, that nothing we do can remove us from his love. And grace then becomes our identity. It reminds us that we are people who belong to God the Father, who are children because of Jesus Christ. And so God's grace becomes the basis of how we describe ourselves. Save sinners that have received the unmerited favour of God. You live in Ephesus. You live in the world, Paul says. But you are God's child. You have been shown his grace. And because of that, we have peace. The peace of God's blessing to us. Paul's going to unpack those blessings in the next couple of verses. The peace of knowing how we stand with God. The peace that we can have because God has extended his grace to us. This peace is based on a Hebrew word, shalom. Has anyone heard of the word shalom? A few hands there. Shalom. It's a word that's not just a feeling of quiet, but it's a total feeling of well-being. A total feeling of calm and security that we can only have in Jesus Christ. And so Paul's blessing here to the church at Ephesus, the blessing to us, is a blessing that keeps us grounded in Jesus Christ. Keeps us grounded in a world that is topsy-turvy, in a world that is full of COVID, where we face as a society fear, anxiety, tension, anger. As we are called to be peace in a world that so lacks peace. And it is that peace that helps us to keep going when things are tough. A peace that knows that the gospel of Jesus Christ conquers challenges greater than we can face on our own. That with God's strength, through the grace and peace of Jesus Christ from God our Father, we can face anything that comes our way. Now, Paul's going to explain all of this throughout the book of Ephesians. He's going to unpack God's grace to us. He's going to show us how we can have that peace and what that peace looks like lived in life. But in the beginning, here as we start this letter, Paul wants them to see, wants us to see this morning, who we are. Saints, called by God, set apart for God. Those who are faithful, those who place their hope and faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's what we are called to do this morning. Place our hope, place our trust in him. Brothers and sisters, be encouraged this morning. You are a child of Jesus Christ. You belong to him. Nothing can take you away from him. As Paul goes on in Ephesians, he prays for the Ephesians. And his prayer is that they would know Jesus Christ. Not just with a head knowledge, but a knowledge that would flow through everything they do. I'm going to conclude this morning by praying Paul's prayer for us. We find in Ephesians 3, you can read along with me if you like. Ephesians 3, this is Paul's prayer as he seeks to speak to the Ephesians. This is prayer that should be our prayer for each other as well. That we would know Christ, not just in a head knowledge, but also in an experiential, in a way that we experience, that we know, that flows out, that makes a difference in what we do. Let's pray together now. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that according to the riches of the glory of Jesus Christ, you may grant us to be strengthened with power through your Spirit and our inner being, so that Jesus Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all of God's people what is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, to know the love of Jesus Christ that surpasses knowledge. Lord, fill us with all of the fullness of God. As we come to the book of Ephesians, as we work our way through the book of Ephesians, show us Jesus Christ, teach us Jesus Christ, help us to be gripped by who Christ is and what he has done for us, so that we may live this out in our lives. To you, Heavenly Father, who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power, your power at work within us. To you be glory in your church, in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And all God's people said together, Amen. Let's stand now and sing a song that speaks of Jesus Christ, number 216, In Christ Alone. Stand and sing these words together.